Today on episode number 399 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/399. Got a cool Because of My Podcast story. Wait till you hear how people are getting more press credentials in the sports area. We're going to talk with Tony from Patreon. This is a cool service that helps content creators get paid. Yeah, I probably got your attention now. Speaking of getting paid, I'm telling you how I'm not going to get paid anymore. I have an update on my Amazon account. Wish it was better news, but it's not. And I'm going to tell you how to deal with things when things get a little negative. And I've got some tips on that that might help you from pod fading or basically stopping your podcast for no apparent reason. Now, before we get to that, I mentioned this at the end and I'm like, you know what? I'm re-recording the intro. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/single class, last week I talked about breaking my podcasting in 6 weeks class into kind of an a la carte mode. And so far the people that responded was like, I like that idea. And so if you're interested in this, I would love if you could just take, it's just going to be like, I don't know, probably 7 questions. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/single class and let me know what class you would be interested in taking. I'm dying to know because that's going to be the first class I really ramp up. So thank you so much. Again, this is episode 399. And what's the phrase again? Oh, that's right. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, look, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to promoting, all points in between. I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone and we flatten the learning curve. It's easy. No jargon, no gobbledygook, no geek speak. Super glad that you are here. And if you'd like to contact me, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I always like to start off the show with a bit of podcasting success and would love to hear yours. If you can answer the question because of my podcast, record it, send it in. You can call it in. It's 888-563-3228, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. But I'm assuming if it's because of your podcast, you can just record one and send in an MP3, just like Corey did from ivyenvy.com. Check this out.
Hi, Dave. This is Corey Finneran from the Ivy Envy podcast. And I do some other podcasts, but this, because of my podcast segment, is for Ivy Envy. And Ivy Envy is a podcast on the Chicago Cubs. It's basically just talk and analysis from an average fan's perspective. Because of my podcast, I have earned media credentials with several of the minor league affiliates of the Chicago Cubs. And at this point, the Cubs and Major League Baseball and the teams in Major League Baseball, they don't really recognize bloggers and podcasters as legitimate media. But the minor league teams have really accepted new media content producers and given them some of the perks and the access that would be typically reserved for quote unquote real media. So through these media credentials, I had the opportunity to meet the owner of the Chicago Cubs. That's Tom Ricketts. And I was able to participate in a press conference with him. And I've also been able to do one-on-one on the field interviews with several of the prospect players in the Cubs organization. And those are opportunities that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for my podcast. So my advice is, if you're a podcaster, don't hesitate to view yourself as quote unquote real media, because others probably see you that way and it can lead to some really cool opportunities. And I would like to do another Because of My Podcast segment at some point to tell you how, because of my podcast, I got a Major League Baseball rule changed. Thanks, Dave, and I enjoy the show.
He got to meet the owner of the baseball team. How cool is that? And it is. It's realize that you're not always going to get the top dog. So sure, the Cubs aren't jumping on board. But now that he's got in touch with the owner, it's just a matter of taking advantage of every opportunity that is given to you. So yeah, you might start off with the minor league or even the minor league of the minor league, but that's all right. Take every opportunity and just, for lack of a better phrase, hit it out of the ballpark. And that way they might say, oh, you might want to talk to so-and-so. And then you slowly go up the food chain. And the next thing you know, you're at the top of the heap. And that's when we do it right. We treat it with respect. We do our best. And we put out great content that eventually the big leagues, for lack of a better phrase, will start looking at this and saying, you know what? These people have just as much credibility as anybody on Access Hollywood. Okay, sure. Maybe Corey doesn't have as great a legs as some of the people on on Access Hollywood, right? Maybe I'm not as hot as some of the guys on TV, but that's why I do radio, right? But awesome stuff to hear. Corey, thank you so much. And you are, yes, I want to hear how you had a rule changed. Are you kidding me? Yeah, send that in immediately. And likewise, if you are listening and you've got it because of my podcast story, I love to hear these things. They always jack me up. And Corey, thank you so much for sending that in. Got to hang out with Corey at the New Media Expo. He was also on the chronic taco trip. That was awesome. And you can check out Corey at Ivy, that's Ivy, Envy, that's ENVY.com.
Are you the person in charge of your website? Then come check out the Weekly Web Tools podcast at weeklywebtools.com. Each week, we spotlight and review tools. We discuss strategies on web design and promotion. We talk a little SEO, all with the intent of enhancing your website. The Weekly Web Tools podcast. It's the podcast for the do-it-yourself webmaster. Check it out at weeklywebtools.com.
All right, next up, we have an interview with Tony Privatelli. He is the head of creator relations over at Patreon. Now, if you haven't heard of Patreon, it's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and it's a way for content creators to get paid. So I went over to their website and typed in podcast, and you're going to hear about Tom Merritt. He has 3,138 people, and he's making about $9,000 a month. Now, I believe Tom Merritt came from This Week in Tech. He's one of the guys that got that left in whatever way they left. I don't know if he got fired or quit or whatever. But so he's not. Yes, he's a great example. I would love to make $9,000 a month, but it's not like he's some guy in the basement with no following. Another quick search turned up the D6 generation. This person has 74 patrons who is making $232 an episode. There's another one here. The Angry Chicken is creating podcasts, and they are saying they have 42 patrons who are paying them $157 a month. If you pledge a penny or more per month, you get an angry thank you. You get your name on the Angry Chicken Thank You Patrons section of the website. We'll be giving you shout outs to five or more patrons at the end of every episode. If you do $5 or more per month, you get the above plus a preferred entry into the future of the Angry Chicken community, tournaments, and exclusive into patron-only giveaways. Mike Falzone does a podcast called Welcome to the Podcast, where they wake up and make fun of things. He has 49 patrons donating $371 a podcast. He's asking for a dollar a podcast. So obviously, somebody's doing more than a dollar. His rewards are, for a dollar or more, you get a free download of the podcast, access to my Patreon-only stream. Thank you so much. You seriously have no idea how much a dollar helps. With a $5 more pledge, you get a free download and access to my Patreon-only stream. So I'm not quite sure what the difference is between. I guess it's the same thing. If you can afford more, give more. Here's one, $10 or more. Only a certain amount of people can do this. You need advice or a good laugh, just want to hang out and watch each other drink coffee, Skype with me, limited for about 15 minutes. So he's giving you 15 minutes of a Skype call for up to 18 people, at least one Skype session a month. We will say an extra special thank you to you. And note, all rewards are fulfilled the week after you pledge, after we upload each episode. For $30 or more, you get a personalized Vine from the person, plus free download of the podcast, access to my Patreon-only stream, and for $50 or more per podcast. So this means every time this guy puts out a podcast, you put $50. And right now, for the record, 17 people are giving him $10 or more. 25 people are giving him $1 or more. And here, 3 people have pledged $50 or more, and there's only 2 spots left. So he was up to 5 spots here. You are the official patron sponsor. You get all previous rewards and Skype sessions, at least 1 Skype session a month, and we'll promote you or your website, Twitter, whatever you have on the podcast, and you have to be approved by the team. So he's not going to give that to just anybody. So those are some examples of how people are using this and what they're getting from Patreon. Here's another one. This is from the Cognitive Dissidence podcast. And you can, he's doing again per podcast. He has 28 people. He's right now, he has 56 patrons making $126 a podcast. How cool is that? For $1 or more per podcast, we'll give you a heartfelt thanks during that episode. For $2 or more, we'll give you a heartfelt thanks during the episode. And if we ever meet, I will hug you. 11 people are doing that. For $5 or more per podcast, we'll give you a heartfelt thanks during that episode. Also, if we ever meet, I will hug you. And the option literally has no other benefit other than you are giving us more money. And for that, you're the best person on earth. And 8 people are doing that. So I heard about Patreon originally from Ray Ortega from thepodcasterstudio.com and, of course, podcastersroundtable.com. And then later, Nick Suberling from startpodcastingnow.com, he signed up and had, I think within like a blink of an eye, like $30 that people were giving him. And I'm like, all right, I got to check this out. And so I went over and contacted some folks and got a hold of Anthony Privitelli, better known as Tony. And Tony came on the show, and here is my conversation. Thank you, Tony, for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And so let's just start off with the easy question. You know, tell us a little bit about what's the elevator pitch for Patreon?
Well, yeah, let me give it to you. Basically, we're at its most basic point, ongoing crowdfunding for basically all types of artists and creators, whether that be a YouTube creator, a webcomic, indie gamers, writers, podcasters, you name it. Basically, anyone creating content on a regular basis.
Very cool. Now, how long have you guys been around?
We've been up for about 9 months now. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, and so, then, so you're still in your infancy, right? You're getting there. That's cool.
Yeah.
How many people using the system at this point, you know?
We have just about over 11,000 creators on Patreon.
Very, very cool.
So, yeah, rapid growth over the last few months.
And if I understand this, because I've signed up, I've just started putting some things together. There are basically 2 schools of thought. One is you can basically have kind of a membership program. You're basically going to have content, and you say, look, I will put out X amount of money or X amount of content, I guess, per month. And your fans, your community, your tribe, pick your favorite buzz phrase, and they can actually just give you money for nothing. There's also, you can set up rewards. So I think I have one. If you give us $5 a month, we'll let you join our private Facebook community.
Right.
That. So is that basically a way of looking at it? It's an ongoing, it's almost like a membership site. You're kind of pledging to create content, and then they're pledging to give you cash.
Right. So we call it, whenever you become or you pledge, let's say I pledge to your podcast, I would then become a patron mm-hmm. of David Jackson. So basically, it's becoming a patron of the arts. And generally, it was meant for, you know, per podcast. So every time you release a new piece of content, I would be paying for that, you know, at the end of the month. And the way we do the per piece of content per podcast for your case mm-hmm. would be if you wanted to, you know, take a month off and maybe not produce a podcast 1 month or 1 week, I wouldn't be charged for that. So if you wanted to take 2 months off, I wouldn't be charged. But the next time you created a piece of content, whether that be a podcast, then I would be charged. That's the per content model. But if it's per month, technically it's automatic charge at the end of every month, regardless if you create a podcast. That's the main difference.
So really the per episode way, in a certain extent, as somebody who has a membership site, takes the pressure off the content creator because maybe you're just not feeling creative that month. You don't have to worry about it, and you don't have to worry about losing people because I didn't put anything out.
Exactly, exactly. Whereas if you're on a monthly campaign, you know, maybe you feel a little bit pressure to keep creating a new podcast, whether it's once a month or weekly or whatever your schedule might be.
Is there, can you think of like one scenario where the monthly plan would work better than maybe the per episode, or is there a typical person that goes that route?
I don't know if you're familiar with Tom Merritt, his podcast, as well as Chris Prillo's TLDR mm-hmm. on Patreon. They're doing daily content. So instead of charging their patrons every day, it's just a monthly campaign for them. So instead of being charged, you know, $1 20 times in a month, you can just do a $20 pledge per month. So basically the people that are consistently putting content every day, I think the per month is well suitable for them.
Very cool. And of course, everybody's going to want to know, how much does it cost to get involved?
It's completely free for any creator to sign up. Patreon does take 5%, and then there are additional credit card fees. But for any creator to sign up, it's completely free, and we're trying to make it as simple and fast as possible for anyone to join.
Now, when I get paid, do I get paid via PayPal then, or how does that work?
So yeah, then we have three payment options. If you wanted to receive a physical check, you can, if you're in the United States. PayPal, of course, and we actually just implemented Stripe Direct Deposit as well.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That there we go. Because I knew you guys were using Stripe, and I've used Stripe with some of my other programs. I'm like, oh, it'd be cool if I could just have it go right to my my checking account. Because I was going to say, if I use PayPal, do I then have to pay more PayPal fees to get paid?
Well, we do instant transfers, and if you're in the United States, that's usually no fee.
Okay.
But depending on where your patrons are located, if they're supporting you through PayPal, like internationally, there might be additional fees through PayPal.
What are some of the things, because we talked about the rewards that some people are doing. They're setting up milestones. You know, if I hit this many people, I will, you know, run naked through the streets or whatever. What are some of the creative things you've been seeing people do?
Some of the creative things, Zach Wienersmith actually hired a full-time staff member after he hit a goal of a couple $1,000s. He was able to bring one of his part-time employees over the past couple years. He was able to, after hitting his milestone goal of a couple $1,000s, he's using that money to actually pay a staff member full-time. So now he could, you know, maintain his web comics. So we thought that was pretty cool, yeah.
Because that, like, makes sense. Well, I've got enough people. I might as well hire a staff.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything off the top of your head? I've seen some rather interesting, shall we say, outside the box thinking.
Yeah, like creating a special or a special video, you know, based off the patrons. I know some creators might open up in their activity feed, maybe some ideas that the patrons might come up with. If once I hit, you know, $1,000, I'll upload a special video to my patrons only. You know, you guys write the script and I'll perform it. Basically.
There you go. Let's follow the path of content. So first of all, mm-hmm. is this just video or can it be audio? Is there any limitations on what the content can be?
There's no restriction. We don't host on Patreon, so it's all embedded files. So whether you're posting onto YouTube, SoundCloud, LibSync, like you said, you're hosting your podcasts on,
mm-hmm.
It's all embedded onto Patreon.
Okay, so I basically just put a link. If I was doing audio, because most of this audience will be, right now we're doing this as video, but if I was doing audio, I would just basically upload it to Libsyn and just copy and paste it into where it says paste content here, and that would be basically it. And it puts a player or a download link or?
When you're posting new content onto Patreon, there's a new content button that you'll click, and you could, you know, add a title, a description, and then there's a URL box. You can embed any URL. You can attach downloadable files as well. So if you wanted to attach the files, you can do that.
Okay. So now let's follow that from a fan's perspective. The creators put out mm-hmm. some content. Do they just get an email and they log into their Patreon account? Or how does that work from the fan side?
Yeah. So every patient, when they initially sign up, say if I'm new to the site and I knew you had a Patreon page and I wanted to become a patron, I land on your Patreon page and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I want to donate $1. I'll click, you know, become a patron for $1, and then it will direct me to actually sign in and create a Patreon account. And I can do so by signing in with Facebook, or, you know, I'll be asked to sign in with my email address, right? And then every time you post a new piece of content, I'll get that email notification on Patreon and to whichever email address I signed in with. So every time you make an update, I'll be notified because I want to know when you're, you know, creating something new.
Do you know if there are any plans to, because right now everybody goes back to your website, are mm-hmm. there any plans to make like a widget or anything where I could have all this, you know, activity, but have it on my website?
So like an RSS or like an API for your website?
Yeah, just something where, I'm not even sure, I was thinking about that today as I was getting ready to do this interview. I'm like, I'm not even sure technology how you would how you would do that. But I had somebody that said, yeah, but aren't you just driving all the traffic to their website? And I was like, yeah, but I'm driving traffic to their website where I'm getting paid.
Right, right. So, yeah, our dev team's constantly pushing out new features. And that's been actually a hot request on a lot of podcasters and web comics who actually have their own website on the side, and they're directing them to Patreon. So that's something we're trying to integrate with Patreon as well.
Any success stories else besides, obviously there's tons, but anything off the top of your head you would want to share?
One that stands out is Tom Merritt and his podcast. They're reaching up to almost 9,000 a month. And he started maybe about, I would say maybe two, three months ago at max. I think it was more closer to 2 months ago. And his The Daily Tech News Show on Patreon. And he's just been one of the marquee creators on Patreon with the way he advertises through social media, the way he interacts with all of his fans on the patron feed. So he's been in a few articles where Patreon has been mentioned as well. You know, just kind of throwing it back to Tom and looking at his Patreon page and seeing what he's been able to create on our site. It's pretty spectacular.
Let's say I decide I'm going to do a bonus content that's a video.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if I put it on YouTube? Is it just a case where most people are marking those as, I think there's a setting for unlisted? So
Correct. Technically
it's public, but you don't know about it unless you have the direct link. And then they're putting that into their Patreon area. So it's not officially, you know, it's kind of hidden, but not really. But because Patreon has the direct link, boom, you log in and there it is. Is that a fairly common like tactic?
Yeah. So if you wanted to upload a special video for your patrons only, you know, maybe for a reward tier, maybe for your $5 patrons, you send them an extra video. Yeah. So you would just upload that video to YouTube, mark it as unlisted, so it's private unless you share the link. And of course, you're going to share that link to your patrons on Patreon. And then obviously, if any of those patrons wanted to, they could technically share that link and make it go public. But I'm sure since they're paying for it, you know, they want the secrecy of it. Me saying like, oh yeah, I get to see this because I'm supporting, you know, David on Patreon, and this was sent directly to me. So we haven't had a problem with patrons sharing unlisted videos because it's special to them. But yeah, that's generally what creators are doing.
Is there any system that doesn't, like if I threw it on Amazon S3, are there any type of media servers that at this point are causing issues for you guys?
There hasn't yet. There might be some implementation problems with maybe something we don't know about, but usually we throw that to our dev team and they can usually figure that out. You know, how to maybe work around it, maybe add, you know, a random to the end of the link to make it work. So,
all right. And now my favorite question, when I saw this, I was just playing with it. So I signed up I made my page represent a monthly system. And now as I talk to you, I'm like, you know what? I probably should have done the per podcast thing. And we should probably mention as well, from the fan's point of view, you mentioned somebody was doing, you know, almost a daily podcast. And if I say I'll give you $1 a day, the fan might think, well, I'm not going to send that guy $30 a month. That's a bit much. Fans can cap their giving. They can say, look, I'll do $1 a video up to X amount of money per month. So we should mention that as well.
Absolutely.
So I've done this, and I'm kind of sitting there thinking, you know what? I probably should have vice versa this and made it more of a per episode as opposed to a per month. Is there a way to, you know, I've stepped into the pool and I'm kind of going, any way to reverse that?
Yeah, it's super easy. You just go under your account settings when you initially set up your account, and when you clicked monthly, right above that is, or you just have to uncheck mark that box and then type in, you know, if you're going to do it per podcast, you just simply write that in. And whenever you post something, it's going to be a little different now. Whenever you make a new post, you're going to have the option to mark it as paid or free content. And then so whenever you're posting a new podcast, you just have to make sure you mark that as paid, letting us know, you know, that we're charging your patrons for this new podcast.
Got it. And if I have does it drive you crazy saying Patreon and then sometimes Patron? Do you ever get those confused? Because I have to really think now when I'm like.
So Patreon is the site and the company. But if I was pledging to you, I'm considered a patron, like a patron of the arts. Yes.
It's like, but now I have to think every time I say that word. I'm like, wait, don't get them confused. Yeah. Patron is, so if I have a patron, which I do, I have one, Ray Ortega.
Awesome.
Thank you, buddy. If I switch this now to per episode, what happens to this person in this case?
So I would, for you, their pledge will stay the same. Mm-hmm. And now you might want to make a little announcement in your activity feed, letting your patron know, hey, I actually switched my page to per content. So if you want, if I were to upload three podcasts in a month, you would actually be charged $15 if I'm pledging $5. But
right.
You know, don't worry, you can obviously set your monthly max for $5 and still be eligible for the reward tier. So we want to make sure all the patrons can stay within their budget in case you get super creative and, you know, post like 5 or 10 podcasts in a month.
So, and then how do rewards work the same way in the per episode situation?
Yeah, so that's where it gets tricky. If you can definitely fulfill your rewards on a weekly basis if you're per creation. We want to make sure we tell all the creators on the forefront that, you know, make sure your rewards are scalable. Just in case you get, you know, 100 patrons, you don't have to make 100 phone calls. You know, if you decide to do like a video chat, we let them know, like, you know, we don't want to put an extra burden on you, so just make sure you can scale these rewards so, you know, you're not tied down at the end of every podcast or at the end of every month. We don't want you to be like, oh man, I have to go fill out all my patron rewards, right? We want it to be as simple as easy for you.
Very cool. And then we mentioned that it's you know, there's three ways to get paid. How often do you get paid?
At the end of every month, we're going to process all the credit cards.
Okay.
And then within 3 to 5 business days of the following month, you'll receive your payment, whether it's by check or direct deposit or through PayPal.
Gotcha. And then is that different for the different plans? Like if I'm doing a per episode, it's one way, or is that the same for both plans?
It's across the board. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, is there anything, obviously it sounds like you guys are always working on developing new tools and features and such like that. Anything, you know, that's coming down the pike that you can share, or is that all super hush, super stuff, you'd have to kill me if you told me type stuff?
No, I could definitely share that. One of our main focuses right now is revamping our search and discoverability functionality, making it a lot easier for fans that are just kind of cruising around the website to be able to find and discover new creators that have just joined Patreon. So that's something we're really working on and hopefully going to launch soon.
Very cool. Is there going to be a Patreon podcast? Spotlight new features.
That'd be cool. Maybe that's something we can look into.
Building the community. Here's what's going on at Patreon. So I always got to, you know, get people thinking podcasts. You know, it's what I do. Well, Anthony, I want to thank you so much for joining us. You got all my questions answered. Anything that we should talk about that we haven't hit yet?
I think we pretty much hit everything. If you guys have any questions, always feel free to email us hello@Patreon, and we're always active on Twitter @Patreon. So we try to, you know, respond to everyone we can. And if you ever have any ideas, we're always open to hear suggestions. So just shoot us over a quick note. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, I do have one. I wanted to check the chat room before we
said
goodbye. And this is from Remy. Really cool guy. Mr. Canada says, for a podcaster who releases a show once a week, what's the most popular pledge amount?
The average pledge on Patreon is $7. That's obviously with outliers of zero in our top patrons. But I think the hot spot is anywhere between like $1 and $5. So like $3, $4, anywhere between that $1 and $5 ranges. I think a pretty sustainable amount for someone to hold their patronage over, you know, a vast amount of time, hopefully. Right. Yeah.
Who's got the top number at this point? Like per item,
for someone's page, I think Tom's closing in on 9,000 a month, and I think that would be our biggest creator on Patreon so far.
Very cool. And I was thinking of like per post. Do you know that one by any chance, or is that him? Well, his is cumulative, I guess. But
I'm not sure who might have the largest. I guess single patron maybe donating at $1,000.
Wow.
I'm not sure what that number might be, but yeah.
Well, there's only 11,000 people to keep track of.
Only 11,000 people. That's creators. There's
A
ton more patrons supporting all those creators as well.
There you go. Well, awesome. Well, thank you again so much for your time.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me.
And again, if we haven't said this, Patreon is spelled patreon.com.
Yes.
And if you want to see my page, I'll do my shameless plug, patreon.com/podcastcoach. We'll get you there. So, Anthony, thank you so much, man.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good one.
And there you have it. Really nice guy. We actually did that via a Google Hangout on air. And that's a whole different beast. The Google Hangout on air thing is different. But I then took the audio from that and stripped out the audio and turned it into a podcast. I'll have a link to the video because there's actually one part where I went in and showed him my account. I'm like, how do I change this here? So he actually walked me through some stuff. So I'll have that out at the podcast website. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/ 3-9-9. Since we're talking a little podcast monetization, if you are a regular listener to the show, you know, must have been somewhere late December, early January. Amazon Associates is a great program where you can sign up, and if you refer people to Amazon through your special link and they buy something, you earn 4%. And I was actually having enough success with that that my percentage had gone up to almost 7%. So I was making a definitely decent amount of cash. I wasn't going to retire on it, but it represented a nice amount of money. And so, unfortunately, I made a link using a plugin. We're going to get kind of geeky here, called PrettyLink. I love PrettyLink. Accidentally clicked on the, there are different types of links you can create. And one, I accidentally marked it as PrettyBar. And that creates the link in a format. If we want to know the geeky stuff, it's in an iframe. I got banned and I called them and I said, look, what's going on? And they said, oh, you have this one link. One link, they said I had. I fixed the link with a guy on the phone. He says, yep, it looks good, but we'll have to have your account has to go through appeal. So I called them about every other week and said, you know, any news on that? And part of it was that they had sent emails to my Hotmail account, which I didn't even have anymore. I'd let it expire. So I wasn't getting the note saying, hey, you're breaking the rules. So that's why they closed my account. So that's rule number one. Whatever account you use for Amazon Associates, make sure that you keep it updated. So there's my first mistake. Then they asked me to change my email. So I did in my Associates account. So that was fine. I thought I was on the right track. To make a long story short, they reviewed my account and have decided not to open it. And the bad news is Amazon Associates goes in with your Social Security number because you have to pay taxes on the money you make if you make enough. And so it's not like I can just, well, sign up again, only this time I'll be Dave Jackson instead of David Jackson. It's just not going to work as far as I know. And so the thing that I'm going to talk about some tips. I went back and listened, and it's kind of a bummer. Let me give you the email that they sent me. All it said was, as previously stated, you have not compiled, I'm sorry, or complied. You've not complied with the Associates Program operating agreement that governs participation in the Associates Program, and therefore your account was closed. You can find the complete terms of operating agreement, including the linking requirements and participation requests via this link. So they didn't really tell me what I did wrong. They're hinting that it was a linking problem. But when I called them on the phone, they said I had one. And I looked around. As far as I know, I wasn't breaking any rules. We have confirmed that the decision to close your Associates Program account and withhold fees is final. You are no longer eligible to participate in the Associates Program, and any other accounts you have or may open in the future may be closed and advertising fees withheld without further notice. Because this decision is final, further requests to review your account for reinstatement will not receive a response. Thank you for your understanding. Well, the bad news is I don't understand because you didn't tell me what I did wrong. You're kind of hinting that I had a link. The only thing I can think of is that even though it wasn't through an iframe, the fact that I made schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon, and when I looked at the agreement, it talks about how you can't have paid links, like for Google AdWords, and they can't have the word Amazon in it. So I'm pretty sure that was part of it. But again, if they had told me that, I would have fixed it. But it is a bit of a gray area if you go back and look at that. But over the last 5 years, I've helped them sell $55,596 worth of equipment, almost 200 products over that. And I guess I'm kind of bummed that I can't get the one person on the phone that made this decision. And I understand it's Amazon. It's a big program, and I'm sure they're whacking people every day and they can't hold people's hands. But I just found it kind of weird. So what was interesting is I called the support people for Amazon Associates. I'm like, can I please get some sort of real answer? Because here's the thing. As a teacher, when I make a mistake, and I'm not saying I didn't make a mistake. I think it was an honest mistake, and a mistake I would be very willing to fix. You know, I want to squeeze every ounce of education I can out of a mistake. That's the only thing you can do with a mistake. And I was like, can you please tell me exactly what I did wrong? Because the one thing you said I did wrong, I fixed. So there must be something else. And the guy on the phone, whose name was Zach, said, well, there's only one person who could give you that answer. And basically, he's not talking to you. Which I thought, again, after helping the after helping them sell, I'm sure compared to other people, maybe a drop in the bucket. But for me, it was a lot of products. And, you know, I think I would get, can I get a 2-minute phone call? Can I get an email that says, here are the links that were wrong? I don't know. I told him, I'm like, look, I'm not a spammer. The other thing that I noticed is when I switched from one theme to another, I used to have a link at the bottom of my page for my privacy and for my disclosure. And so there again, I can't argue with that. They're not on my website right now. They're there. There's no links to them. There's no easy way to find those. And I'll be fixing that as well. So again, I'm not saying I'm innocent here. I was just surprised that they're not interested in having you fix anything. If you break the rules, you're gone. And I guess if you're a company that big as Amazon, that's the approach you have to take. What was interesting is because I had updated my email address, when I got off the phone with them, I got an automatic email to them saying, hey, what did you think of this? And I said, well, I thought the person on the phone, Zach, was awesome. I thought it was awful that he was basically handcuffed by a policy that he didn't write, that he couldn't give me any information. And how likely was I to, you know, recommend Amazon Associates to somebody? I'm like, maybe it's a good program. I think your rules need to be slightly more clear for those of us that are maybe a little dense. But my favorite was when I submitted that, they gave me a link that said, because I said I wasn't happy, it says, please give us another chance to help you. Click the button below to send email to customer service. So I thought it was interesting that Amazon was asking for a second chance, but yet they weren't giving me one. And again, I got to say, the people that I spoke to on the phone were awesome. It's the upper people who apparently cannot, they've never figured out how to use a phone or will not come to a phone or answer email. I just wanted to know why. So I can tell you, don't do this. So I went around and looked. I did some searching on this, and I noticed something. There are a couple podcasts I listen to that really promote Amazon. One is Jay Moore. He does a show called Moore Stories. The other one is Greg Fitzsimmons, who does Fitz Dog Radio. And both of them do the exact same thing. And being that these are, I mean, Jay Moore was in Jerry Maguire. He's an actor. He's a comedian. Greg Fitzsimmons, again, he's done Leno. He's done Conan. He's a famous comedian. And they all, I noticed they do the same thing when they promote their Amazon. Go to my website and click on the web, on the Amazon banner. That's how they say it. There's no shortcut. There's no redirecting. Go to my website and click on the Amazon banner. Now, if you do that, you have to make it obvious. So I'm going over to Jaymohr, and he says this all the time. And I'm at his website right now. And right there, you don't even have to blink. It's right there in your face. Price selection and convenience. Go to Amazon.com. So he's got it, for lack of a better phrase, what people call above the fold, which means it is, you don't have to scroll down to see it. So if this is something you're going to be doing, you want to make sure that that banner is someplace where people do not have to look for it. So I mentioned my disclosure in their agreement. They say they want you to say something like, in my case, David Jackson is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates program,
an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to insert whatever your website is, Amazon, Endless, blah, 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 blah. So you have to clearly on your website disclose that. And I'm sure they're looking for that exact phrasing. So again, I'll have links to the agreement. So you want to go over this with a fine-tooth comb. So be very careful with everything you're doing with that. They don't mess around and they're not very flexible. And apparently they don't really care that you're trying to work with them. I don't know. I sound like sour grapes. Well, it's basically because I made $2,191 last year through Amazon. And I still have affiliates for other places, for BSW. I use Same Day Music a lot. Same Day Music is a great place. They don't have the selection that Amazon does for like books and such. But for instance, if you want to buy a mixer at Same Day Music, you can actually pay for it in two installments, which is nice. And if you're not living in New Jersey, they don't charge you tax. So I will move on with other systems. And I just wanted to share that with you so that you don't make the same mistake. And I would, if you're an Amazon associate and you're making any kind of money, go back, reread that agreement. Make sure that your website has no sexual content, which obviously mine did not. Make sure your links are fine. And be very, very careful with the any kind of plugin you're using. There's a thing called cookie stuffing, which in some cases, when somebody just visits your site, it puts a cookie for Amazon on that person's computer so that no matter what they buy, you get a commission, even though they didn't click on your Amazon affiliate link. It's like the link was already put there before they even went to Amazon, which, according to Amazon, as you might imagine, is that's coloring outside of the line. So be very careful with that. But the final rule is in. At this point, I'm banned until I sign up under my wife's name or her social security number. Or there are other ways around it. I'm debating whether or not I want to go and try that route. But at this point, I wanted to update you on that. Next up, I want to talk a little bit about avoiding pod fading and mainly dealing with negative things. I mean, I got to tell you, between you and me, I am bummed. Somebody takes $2,000 out of my pocket. I'm bummed. And I'm really bummed when it's my fault. I mean, really, I could blame Amazon. It's really, I made mistakes. And those are the worst situations to be in. But I was talking with a client, brand new, and he wasn't going to put a contact page on his podcast. And I said, well, how are you going to get any kind of feedback from your listeners? And he's like, well, if I put something there, won't I be opening up the door for negative comments? And just so you know, and this is probably one of the reasons why some people don't get involved with podcasting, they're afraid of it, is the fact that, yes, you will get positive responses, but not everybody is going to love your show. I often joke and say, give me 3 episodes, I'm an acquired taste. Because not everybody's going to go, somebody's going to think I'm an egomaniac. Somebody's going to think I'm disorganized. Some people may think, I can't take that guy seriously. He's weird. So you're not going to be loved by everybody. And this can at times really, it's a blow when somebody attacks you personally. It's always tough for me when I do the podcast review show to think, what if somebody said this to me? And that's why I always try to stay constructive. And I always remind people, look, this is just one opinion. You asked for my opinion and here it is. So one of the things I wanted to mention that you can do that helps in a situation like this, and I wish I had done this over the last 8-9 years, is when you get a good piece of feedback, you can do a couple things with this. Number one, I wish I would print them out. I wish I'd printed them out and stuck them on the wall. Or if you use Gmail, there's a way, it's at the top of your screen, where you can make a label. Like I have a label that says Next Podcast. I have one that says Ask the Podcast Coach. Different ways that I can flag things. And then later, I can do a search for that label, and it will show me everything that has that. And you could, when somebody sends you praise or kind words, come up with a label for that.
because there are going to be those days that you don't feel like doing the podcast, or somebody says something, maybe somebody sends you an iTunes review and it's not that great. And you're like, ugh, you know, it's nice to go back and look at those times when people give you a positive review, and don't let the negative reviews get to you. Realize that you are never as good as your bestest ever review, because that person doesn't see you maybe on your worst days, and you're never as bad as your worst review, because that person, A, may just not be your target audience. And just go back to, why do you want a podcast? What are you trying to do? And when I get a negative response, I will look at it and say, is there any merit here? Because if somebody says, this guy talks about himself too much, or this guy, whatever, insert something here, this guy is unorganized, his volume levels are all over the place, this guy, his podcast is too long, something, right? That's constructive. That's something I can fix if it fits with my goals of why I'm doing a podcast. If somebody says, this guy sucks, I can't really tweak sucks, right? That's not very constructive. And when somebody gives you constructive feedback and they say, I think the show is too long, ask yourself, do you think it's too long? And if your answer is no, I think it's fine, well, guess what? This person is probably not your target audience. And that's okay. You're not going to be loved by everyone. I've said this before. If you think about the people who are very popular in entertainment, be it Howard Stern, be it Donald Trump, be it Rush Limbaugh, things like that. What's the other guy? Glenn Beck. These are people that are very polarizing. You either love them or you hate them. And that's okay, because those people grab people's attention. They create engaging content. They get content that get people talking about them. That doesn't mean that you're just walking around dropping F-bombs and being obnoxious and let's make joke about, I don't know, abortions or something that's just like, what? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being a shock jock. I'm talking about creating good content that gets people talking about stuff. But you're not going to be liked by everybody. And that's okay, because you will be liked by the majority of people. The sad thing is, and I'm so guilty of this, that I could get 100 emails saying, Dave, I love your show. I think it's awesome. And if I get one bad piece of feedback, I can tell you that there's an iTunes review right now where the guy mentions how I was asking for money because I wanted to buy a new Kindle. It was an experiment I was doing. Unfortunately, that was the episode that guy heard. And that one sticks in my brain, partly because I look back and go, yeah, that was kind of stupid. Especially after I was doing that right after the tsunami. So everybody's donating money to this healthy cause of the tsunami. Dave comes on his podcast and goes, hey, I'd like a Kindle for my birthday. Who wants to help? Yeah, not the best thing in the world. But I remember that because it was negative. So you can't please everybody all the time. Keep that in mind. And one of the ways you can kind of dig yourself out of the dumps is when you do get positive feedback in email, you know, print it out, put it on your wall, make a wall of, I don't know what you would call that, a hall of fame, you know, because you touched somebody, you moved somebody, you helped somebody. George Harab, who's been on this show in the past, and I consider George a friend, a good guy, very funny guy, very creative guy. And he was talking about it in his podcast. He read a letter where one of his listeners wrote in and said, George, I just want to thank you. I was having a very bad day, had a very bad day at work. Things weren't going well. I was listening to your podcast in the car, and by the time I got home, I had completely reversed my outlook on the day. I was in a good mood. I was smiling and I was happy, and it was because of his podcast that he actually changed that person's day. His day was going horrible, and because of his podcast, you know, George made somebody laugh. What a gift to be able to make somebody's day better. And so keep that in mind. I always tell people, podcasting is changing the world one download at a time. And it keeps getting bigger and it keeps getting better. and we're slowly creeping in onto the media landscape. We heard about Corey today and how we're getting more and more into places that mainstream media was the only people that had that frontier, and now we're getting there. So keep that in mind. Don't let it cause you to want to quit. And just go back, focus on what's going to make your audience go, wow, and focus on that, not on the one person who thinks you're an idiot. All right, next up, there is a new survey out from Edison Research. These are people that have been following podcasting for many, many moons, and they come out every year. And so I thought I would share some of the stats that kind of jumped out at me. They go over everything from online radio to actual radio, satellite radio, things like Pandora, TuneIn.com, things like that. Some of them were kind of funny, like, gosh, people think there are more commercials on the AM/FM radio than there are on internet radio. And I'm like, really? You think? And they do have a whole section on podcasting. So I thought I would share with that. I did find it interesting that Pandora, in case you're wondering, is the top dog in streaming radio systems, followed by iHeartRadio, followed by iTunes Radio, which is fairly new. And then you get into things like TuneIn Radio and Stitcher has 3%, where Pandora has 70%. So, and I was surprised that Stitcher has 3% and iTunes Radio, well, maybe not, has 47%. I mean, it is Apple after all. The people that are listening to services like Pandora and iHeartRadio and iTunes Radio are predominantly 12 to 24, and then followed by 25 to 54, and people over 55 are not quite so much into it. Spotify is another one. I love Spotify for finding new music. When they were talking about what's going on in your car, obviously 86% of people are still listening to AM/FM radio, followed by a CD player, followed by not satellite radio and not online radio, but an MP3 player or some sort of digital music player, hence your phone. One of the reasons that podcasting is having, quote, a second boom is there's over 500% growth in smartphone ownership in 5 years. It's up to 61%. That's an estimated 160 million people have a smartphone. If you go to people that are the age of 12 to 24, it's 78%. So basically three-fourths of people, 12 to 24, have a smartphone. 68% of people, 25 to 54, have a smartphone. And people above 55 have, it's down to 36. But generally, you're looking 68 to 78% of the people have a smartphone, which means it's only a matter of time till they figure out, wait, I can listen to stuff that I want to. I don't have to listen to this crappy radio stuff anymore. I was surprised that they have a stat here that Pandora is the most downloaded audio app. I understand that, followed by iHeartRadio and Spotify, Sirius XM, TuneIn Radio is down a little further, Last.fm. And Stitcher is at 1%, where Pandora is at 50. Nowhere in here does it mention the podcasts app from Apple. Tablet ownership is up to 39%. So again, we're seeing more and more people getting away from listening to it on their computer. When we get to the specific podcasting stats, its percentage of people who've ever listened to an audio podcast is up to 30%. Now, it actually went down in 2013, but that's because they redefined what a podcast was. So it's up 3%. I'm going to say in reality that was probably closer to 33%. But an estimated 39 million Americans have listened to a podcast in the past month. 39, and that's just Americans. 39 million people, that's 15%. One in five weekly podcast users consume six or more podcasts a week. So I'm a freak. I listen to six in a day, right? I'm listening to podcasts in the car, in the shower if I could, and on the way home, on the treadmill, walking the dog, I'm listening to a podcast. I am subscribed to probably around 60 or 70, and I listen to them all on 2X. When I'm on my desktop, I use Stitcher and I can listen at 3X. That's a little insane, but it can be done. So, but the average person, 1 in 5 weekly podcast users consume 6 or more podcasts a week. So the average is 6, basically 1 a day. So the fact that you're listening to me right now, man, am I grateful, because I realize you may not be listening to that many. Now, there's a major shift in podcast listening devices. In 2013, it was 64% was on the computer, and then 34% was on some sort of portable audio player or a tablet. The computer went from 64% down to 46%, and smartphone, tablet, portable audio player went from 34% to 51%. So again, huge shift to portable listening, whether it be your iPhone, your iPad, some sort of tablet, your smartphone. That is why podcasting is jumping up again, because it's easier to consume that information on your phone. They do mention here that podcasts are getting hotter. The percentage of monthly listeners grew strongly year over year. So podcasting, as much people are like, yeah, podcasting's back. It's like, look, it never left. In fact, it's been growing every single year. Here's a question I have, and I need to give a quick shout out to my buddy Ray Ortega. He does the podcastersstudio.com as well as podcastersroundtable.com. And the great thing about using Google Hangouts to record a Hangout, which is just a video, you don't have to use video, but it's kind of cool that you have video. And it changes almost on an hourly basis. And so here I was getting ready to interview Tony from Patreon, and I could not figure out how to get the guy into the actual Hangout. Because when you have a Hangout, you have links in the bottom right-hand corner. One is for an event, so you can send that to your audience so they can come and basically say if they're coming or not. They can also watch once it goes live, I believe, there. And then you can embed it. So you could say, like, for me, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, I had it there. So I can always tell people, anytime I'm doing anything live, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live and I'll be there. And but that, again, doesn't get your guest into the Hangout. So what do you send your guest to get them into the Hangout? And the answer is, when you're in your Hangout, like you're there, you're not broadcasting yet, but you're there, at the top, the address to the actual page you're at, copy that, paste that into an email and send it to them. When they click on that, it'll say you're about to join a Hangout. You have to say, yes, I know, and in they come. So thank you to Ray for helping me out with that one, and I'm sure by the time you hear this, it will have changed. Last up, I always keep doing this at the end of the show. There are stats that if you haven't checked out the Podtertainment magazine, there's a great article in there from Todd Cochran of Blueberry. You can find that at schoolofpodcasting.com/Podtertainment. That's like entertainment, only pod. So check that out. And it's amazing how many people apparently are not making it to the end of podcast. Now, I've always known that from Stitcher. Since we're kind of talking stats today, we might as well do this as well. 50% of people that use Stitcher use it on an iOS device, 44% on an Android, and 6% listen on their desktop. That's me. I love it on the desktop. Android people tend to listen to more comedy and sports. iOS users tend to listen to more arts and politics. The most listening occurs on Monday, followed by Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Friday. So apparently the weekend, it's Monday and Sunday. Interesting. The 5 peak listening hours of the day are in, according to PST, 8 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. That's interesting. Because I listen a lot at night, but okay. The top 10 cities where Stitcher users are listening is New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, Seattle, Austin, then Seoul, Korea, number 9, and London, right, in the UK is number 10. 10 million people are recommending podcasts every single day on Stitcher. The average monthly listening time, goes back to that other survey, about 8 hours per month. 48% of people that listen to a podcast make it to the end. How depressing is that? So I realized when I put stuff like this at the end of the show, I probably should start putting it at the beginning. But I'm really, last week I asked, hey, I postponed my next Podcasting in 6 weeks class. And because I'm still moving the School of Podcasting to a virtual private server. The good news is I got too much traffic. The bad news is my old website was a little tired. So I'm actually going to be finishing that up when I wrap up recording here. And it came to me, maybe instead of selling this as a whole package, what if you could just order planning your podcast? What if you could order just making your podcast website, kind of a WordPress 101? Or how do I publish my podcast to iTunes? And how do I promote my show? And how do I make money with my podcast? Right now, the big one here is publishing your podcast to iTunes. People want to know how to do that. And everybody has been saying, nothing against your Podcasting in 6 weeks class, Dave, but I would rather a la carte it. So what I want to do here is I want to dive into this more with you. And so if you want to send in a voicemail, you can. It's 888-563-3228. But I am going to put up a survey. So if you could do me a favor and go to schoolofpodcasting.com/single class. That's schoolofpodcasting.com/single class. I would love to get your input on this because there's no sense creating content that nobody's going to consume. And I also need to know what you're looking to, what your budget is for growing your podcast, things like that. And then just come up with an educated decision on whether or not this is something I need to do. So again, that address again is schoolofpodcasting.com/single class. And that is going to do it for this week at the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Want to thank Tony again from patreon.com. If you want to check out my site over at Patreon, go over to patreon.com/podcastcoach. Don't forget, if you're looking to join the School of Podcasting, I would love to have you. We do have step-by-step tutorials, and you can watch them from anywhere you want, at any time you want. You've got little old me to answer any questions that you might have. And you can use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, and that will get you a discount off of your first month. I always say, come for the education and then stay for the community. If you don't have a podcast yet and you don't have a website, please email me with the phrase quick start in the email list. Here's how this works. You will order hosting through a link of mine that is an affiliate link. I get paid for that. That's really nice. But how do you gain? Well, I'm going to go ahead and when you get a welcome email, forward that to me and I will install WordPress and all the plugins for you. And I will give you a free month at the School of Podcasting because you're like, great, now I have a website. How do I do this with WordPress? Well, I've got tutorials that'll walk you through that whole thing. So if that's your situation and you have a name picked out, you know where you want to go with podcasting, then again, email me with the phrase quick start in the subject line and we will jump right on that. So thank you so much for tuning in. It's weird. Episode 399. I don't think I've done anything 399 times or for this long for that matter. Let me see. We've been doing this since 2005, 9 years. Okay, I was married the first time for 10. So I have done that for longer than 9 years. But next week, if this is your first time for tuning in, tune in next week. It is going to be a show to remember. So thank you so much for tuning in. And always remind you that it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And that really starts by getting off the couch. Come on, seriously? It's time to get off. Spring is almost a week away here. Get off the couch. Start podcasting. I would love to help you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And have a great week. We'll see you next week. Take care. God bless.